Now, Mr. Baker, back to you.
Thank you. The next item is discussion regarding windmill zoning regulations, and in your packet was some information, basically just to summarize that. Effective July 1st, the Board of Adjustment no longer has the ability to issue variances regarding windmills. So we are no longer, there are no building permits being issued for windmills on less than 5 acres. This is an unintended consequence due to recent state legislation, which in effect eliminates the Board of Adjustments from a role in the process of approving individual requests for windmills. For properties of greater than 5 acres, windmills can be built subject to the various rules approved by the state of Delaware. On October 5th and October 19th, October 5th, Mr. Paul Driscoll from Urban Research and Development Corporation, our land use consultants, was here. And on October 19th, there was some discussion, and we have some information prepared by Mr. Paul Driscoll regarding possible amendments to the county code. Basically, what was suggested is to the council to consider is to eliminate the 5 acre minimum lot size requirement for a windmill, eliminate the need for a special use exception for windmills less than 100 feet, and allow them as accessory uses, to eliminate any requirement that the property that the windmill is on must be a farm, to establish a maximum of one windmill per lot in most districts to ensure that there's only one on typical residential single-family home lots, and then to incorporate standards, state standards, within the county code. The changes have been reviewed by Mr. Driscoll, Mr. Robertson, Mr. Brohl, Mr. Lank, which would enable residents on property less than 5 acres to construct the windmill subject to the various requirements as noted by the state. And one of the important requirements that the state does have is that there would be a setback of 1x the turbine height from adjoining property lines. So there, if a windmill was 50 feet high, then there'd have to be a 50-foot setback on all sides of the windmill. So at the October 19th council meeting, there was also, I think Mr. Cole brought up that we may wish to lobby the state legislature to allow homeowners associations to regulate wind turbines, which the new legislation basically took away that power from homeowners associations. So we wanted to bring this up to your consideration again and see if what your take on this is. It would basically, I think, Mr. Moore would agree, this would require an ordinance to make these types of changes.
Thank you. Mr. Cole.
Mr. Moore, do you, on this one LexisNexis article, I guess it's from the state of Delaware's code?
That is correct.
Okay. When I read the first paragraph, it says something, any of the restrictions adopted after August 8th, 2009 shall be void and unenforceable. Anything before that are valid? In other words, if you're in an older subdivision, you've got deed restrictions against this, you're fine?
No.
Because I read up in the first sentence, it says facility, you know, faculties or something. Anyway, for regulating the use of property, shall adopt. In other words, it sounded to me like they're not allowed to adopt anything, but if you've already got them in your deed restrictions, can they go to private deed restrictions and just say they're void?
I believe, based on Mr. Burrell's research, that because this wasn't the only legislation, there was another piece of legislation as well, that there cannot be regulations prohibiting windmills.
Well, it said no county, municipal, or homeowner association for regulating use shall adopt. Okay, in other words, it sounded to me like starting at 09, you can't adopt anything after that date. But if you've got deed restrictions in place before that, if you could get a clarification on that, see, it may not be a big issue because new subdivisions are all going to be on an equal playing field. I just hate to go back to existing subdivisions where they got to, you know, people don't want them, and the majority don't want them, and the government comes in with a heavy hand and says, you're going to get them. But my reading of this sounds like they shall they can't adopt any covenant. So, in other words, a homeowners association can't sit around today and adopt one, but if it's already adopted, don't you read it that way?
I will defer to Mr. Burrell, and I'm trying to see if I have his memo, because he had drafted a memo on that specific issue before. And I do know that Mr. Burrell and Mr. Robertson had met on this recently, and I believe there's another meeting that they've scheduled for this Friday to discuss the windmill specifically.
Okay. I still think lobbying the state, because I think that if a community sets up some restrictions and says we don't want windmills, and somebody who's a potential purchaser can see that, and he can determine whether they want to live in a community that permits windmills or not. So, I mean, I still think private deed restrictions are important in land use, you know, issues, and I still think we ought to try to protect those private deed restrictions. It goes along with protecting private property rights for my private property right people at the other end of the aisle here, namely Sam Wilson.
It might be like your health insurance. You may take it whether you like it or not.
Anything else reference the windmill regulations? Anything else from council?
So, what are we going to do then?
I'm asking council what direction you want to take. You want to just drop it, or you want to do something?
Well, I think we need it. I mean, I still think we need a minimum lot size. I think in some of these little, you know, some houses are only 10 feet off the line. The other house 10 feet off the line. You get a 20 feet distance, and you put the windmill in between the houses. It's not fair to.
Can't do that.
But you are allowed under state ordinance to limit it up to one times the height of the tower. So that would take care of your situation where the houses are close. Because if there was a 50-foot tower, you could have a setback of that amount.
Are there any inspections of any of the towers? Do we do inspections on any of the stuff? Do you remember? I can't remember. I thought we didn't.
No.
We don't do inspections.
No.
I know manufacturer specs on many of these units say not to put them on less than 1 acre.
Right.
So I still think we need some kind of inspection. I mean, there's a number of things that go into this. I don't know if we can just sit and say, let's do it.
What are the towns doing?
No, towns don't permit them.
Well, George, it's 100 feet high. You can't put on this 1 acre.
Well, that's right. So why don't we just say 1 acre minimum?
You put it right in the very center.
In other words, we would be less restrictive, Sam, if we go from, we're at 5 now, which seems to be very restrictive. If we went to from 5 to 1, are we permitted to do that?
The statute itself indicates what kind of restrictions you can place on that. And going back to your LexisNexis, you see the item under B, 1 through 5, that indicates the type of restrictions that can be placed. You cannot be more restrictive than what is set forth here, which addresses setback, addresses sound, signage on the windmills. If there's historic districts, you can have a certain shielding from that, and that's basically it.
Well, I think there's a number of, when you do one thing, a lot of times it triggers other things, and I think this is one of those where somebody needs to come back to us and say, this is what it's going to take to get the right ordinance, and that might take, you know, being A, B, and C, and maybe we need some. I don't mind seeing a draft of something with different things we think we can address. So.
I believe that that's the direction that's being taken in ordinance drafting and to come before council. But as you recall, when this issue first came up, I discussed the unintended consequences of the state legislation. And there are certain things that we cannot address as in some of the things you just mentioned, Mr. Cole.
Well, we can address,
but we will address the items in the ordinance that we're allowed to address.
Who is drafting the ordinance?
It's my understanding that Mr. Vanderslice from my office, Mr. Lang, and Mr. Burrell and Mr. Robertson are also looking at this to make sure that each of the departments does not have a problem with it as it's being drafted. A committee is not drafting it. It'll be drafted by one and circulated.
Mm-hmm. Now, the state didn't address the inspection issue?
I do.
It didn't seem that way.
No.
All right.
When will we expect this to be to council?
I know there's a meeting, am I correct, Mr. Lang, Friday, that's to be in discussing this?
Yes, we have a meeting Friday to discuss it again and try to, we can draft up an ordinance with this basis, if you like, for discussion, and bring it back, and maybe we can try to cover some of the other, or research some of the other issues that are brought up.
The triggering of other issues, we just can't have the ordinance run. It's a, if we adopt this, you're going to have to do these other things also. So show us the total package. A lot of times we do this one thing and then we forget the other things that help. So I think
your concern is,
I want to see the full circle on this thing.
Your concern was lot size.
Well, he's talking about you couldn't get it in an average subdivision, and maybe Lawrence could show us that with some drawings, how on a standard subdivision of an NMR district, for instance, your lot would have to be so big to do windmills. So if a developer wants to lay out, I guess, a development that's going to permit windmills, he could make large lots, right? But the inspection issue, I mean, that's the one thing I hear from most people. They see these things going up next to them. And even the guy who was in manufacturing, he says, yeah, who knows who's putting this stuff up?
Okay.
So that is critical when you're...
Mr. Baker, if you could, after meeting Friday, would you get this, whoever's going to draft this, Mr. Bannerslice, whoever, with Mr. Lank, to put something together and get back to us within a couple weeks?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Okay, the next item is West Complex Office Space, and since we'd like to discuss our proposal, Delaware National Bank moved from the West Complex several months ago, and since then, the third floor that the county owns, of course, has the bank previously occupied has been vacant. We are proposing to move the addressing department, which is currently located on the second floor, of the West Complex to the third floor, and we're also recommending moving the Information Technology Department, which is located on the second floor of this building, to the West Complex third floor. By linking the two departments together, they would be able to work more closely as the county moves forward with its plan to take further advantage of geographic information systems as a basis for its software. We hope to convert to a new software package, which we anticipate would be network-based and managed through the Information Technology Department, and the GIS would be a very important, that's handled by the Addressing Department. It would be a very important feature. Information about properties and so on would be layered on the GIS information. The GIS as a basis. Move will also provide additional space for growth for the departments in the future. Information technology will maintain one or two employees in this building to handle the day-to-day needs of the employees and here. There would be approximately 14 employees at the West Complex if the move occurs. This would include 5 addressing employees and 9 information technology employees. So there is some wiring work on the third floor, as well as some construction of some temporary walls and doors, et cetera, to accomplish a change like this. The estimated cost at this time is approximately $35,000, which we hope is on the high side, but it's a rough estimate. And about a little over half of that is for the wiring work, which we would need to do, most of which we would need to do anyway to use that third floor for all county office space. The move would provide some open space in this building, which is needed, and we would be able to continue to offer most of our constituent services right here in this building. So that I think is a good thing.
Any questions?
Any questions or concerns?
Any questions?
As we ramp up our use of that building, Dave, I know there's no security out there. We have a controlled security here. Security is a big issue nowadays, as we can see everywhere. We need to address that as people come and go out of that building. So as we do this, could you
Yes, we're
put
taking,
that as, put that as part of the plan?
Sure. Take a look at that, and we also...
Sheriff's office is out there.
Yep. Doesn't matter. There's nobody at the entrance. You walk in, you go anywhere you want.
Any more questions, Mr. Baker?
Anybody want to break into the sheriff's office?
No, I don't think so. If you would move along that project, that's fine.
Okay, great.
Next thing.
Thank you. Next is the county administrator's report. The first item is notice of abandonment. I would like to make one note on that office move. We may have some other changes on the office space in the future.
That's
that
fine.
We'll recommend and bring back to the council.
It's part of your job.
Next is the county administrator's report, notice of abandonment of right-of-way. The county has received a copy of a request to abandon a portion of a right-of-way of the Shortley Road near Georgetown. DelDOT does not oppose the abandonment of this portion of the subdivision right-of-way. The county has not taken a position regarding the matter, but we're not aware of any reason to oppose it. Next, personnel director, Karen Brewington. We are pleased to welcome the new county director of personnel, Ms. Karen Brewington, who is here this morning with Bonnie Wooten. Ms. Brewington has extensive education and experience with human resource issues. She will be assisted by our dependable staff in the personnel department. We look forward to working with Ms. Brewington in the future. And Karen is here this morning.
Good morning. Glad to have you. Welcome aboard.
Next is former State Representative Tina Fallon. We regret to announce the passing of former State Representative Tina Fallon. Representative Fallon served the Seaford area in the House of Representatives from 1978 until 2006. She strongly represented her constituents with great enthusiasm. As a former teacher, Representative Fallon particularly strives to improve our education systems. She always supported the residents of Sussex County, and I understand she taught several of our council members.
I was too young.
Vincent.
I was there.
She had to throw him out of the class.
Yeah, probably. Mrs. Webb.
Thank you.
Lawrence out with
I have two new deposit accounts today for your consideration. The first one is for the ocean outfall construction costs as we are moving on that project. This is the outfall project that concerns our Dewey Sewer District and Hennepin Sewer District. We are in the permitting stage, so I'm getting some expenses, and I'd like to get this started separating that. I can read both resolutions at the end after I explain my account, okay? I'm recommending that we open that account at Fulton Bank. And the second account today is the Sussex for the Credit Union Investment Account. This is a little different than what we've done before. We're going to take advantage of some of the higher rates at this credit union. It's a Sussex County Credit Union. It's currently paying a higher interest rate on checking accounts with a minimum balance and certificates of deposit if you maintain a checking account. However, I can only collateralize $5 million there with them, so that will be the limit, and what we'll do is staggered CDs. Right now, their checking account is at 0.5, and their CDs are at 1 to 1.5% for 12 months, which is a good step in the right direction as far as banks and rates are concerned right now. Any questions? That is just another investment account. It's not. It's just moving funds around.
Any questions, Mrs. Webb?
Okay.
Do you have a motion?
Yes, I do. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorize the payment from funds of the Sussex County Council on deposit with the Fulton Bank bearing the signatures of any two of Michael H. Vincent, President, Samuel R. Wilson, Jr., Vice President, or Susan M. Webb, Finance Director, and a signature may be a facsimile provided one live signature on check or withdrawal.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions? Now we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Thank you. And the second one, be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorize the payment from funds of the Sussex County Council on deposit with the Sussex County Federal Credit Union bearing the signatures of any two of Michael H. Vincent, President, Samuel R. Wilson, Jr., Vice President, or Susan M. Webb, Finance Director. And a signature may be a facsimile provided one live signatures on check or withdrawal.
May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
And a second. Any questions on the motion? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Godwin?
Mr. President, members of council, this morning for your consideration, I have one wastewater agreement, and that is Sussex County Project Number 81-04 and Breakwater Estates Phase 3 Agreement Number 895-1. The developer in this case is Mr. Ben Gordy of Rehoboth Beach, and the project is located on the north side of Gills Neck Road. It will be part of the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District, serving 25 single-family lots. The total connection charges are $110,275. We already have approval from our engineering department as well as DENREC. We're expecting 30 days of construction with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling just $10,161.15 with a proposed construction cost of $67,741. I have a supporting motion, sir.
Yes, sir.
Be it moved that upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 895-1, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction and administration inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Breakwater LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Breakwater Estates Phase Number 3, located in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach. I'm sorry, the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
Need a motion?
I'll make that motion.
We have a motion and a second. Mrs. Deaver, any questions on the motion?
Must be my job today.
Mm-hmm. We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you, sir. Next.
Yes, sir. I have two requests for disbursements from our annual municipal police grant fund. The first one is from South Bethany. They wish to receive the full $20,000 draw at this point that they intend to use for some digital video systems to be installed in their police cars. This will allow them to take pictures on site and have it transmitted to a flash drive. That is for $20,000 for South Bethany. And Milton also is requesting a full draw of $20,000 of their fund for this year to be used in salary enhancements. I know that Milton has been dealing with replacing a couple of policemen and some budgetary problems.
Mr.
Motion, sir.
I got a quick question. Are we including a letter with these funds, kind of tempering their future expectations? I know we've got our budget back in order, but when I see that they're putting this money into salary, I can see where, if we ever got into crises, it could hurt them.
I've been concerned about that as well. What we do is ask them to give us explanation for and verification for where the money is going. In past years, we have restricted these funds to be used for capital and then a mixture of capital and expenses, and now it's totally up to the town's discretion as to how they use those funds. But they are still required to explain to us and show us verification as to where the funds go. As it went with the computers in South Bethany, they will provide for us invoices. But when it goes into the general police department fund for salaries, you're correct. There really isn't a very distinct way to calculate that.
There is a letter.
Okay.
It's an annual letter that we send with the budget. I have a copy if you'd like to check later. Okay. But it does tell them what's in the budget in a general sense and what requirements they need for their grant request to submit to us and when they're eligible and that kind of thing and how to submit. So they do get an annual ledger based on each year's budget so we can tell them what to expect.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions? You have a motion, Mr. Cole?
Yes, sir. Be it moved that Sussex County Council approved two disbursements from the annual municipal police fund being $20,000 for Milton and $20,000 for South Bethany.
I'll make a motion.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any questions on the motion? Not, we'll take the vote. Mr. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you,
sir.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Izzo.
Good morning. I have one item on my agenda this morning. It's in reference to a change order for our Inland Bays construction project. And this is the change order that's sort of been on again, off again on the agenda, and I do apologize for that. Nonetheless, this change order will result in a large credit to the county. The scope of work involves raising the depth of power and communication lines that obviously are used to power the spray rigs and communicate with the spray rigs. That will raise the depth to a 5-foot depth. We've eliminated concrete encasement and rebar on approximately 50% of those power and communication runs. We've also revised the rebar spacing on the portion of the power and communication lines that will remain encased in concrete. We also deleted a section of conduit and wires to the rigs that were redundant because in the bid award we selected an alternate that would use fiber optics to communicate with the rigs, so that run became redundant and was no longer needed. Also, there was other places where conduit was eliminated, particularly in handholds that would be accessed by our staff. And finally, we eliminated coloring in the concrete of the encasement, which is generally used to identify electric duct banks. We didn't think that was necessary. All in all, these changes were reached with a cooperative negotiation between Sussex County and the contractor, and results in an additional savings of $177,810. Good. Don't have any questions? I have a motion.
That'd be great.
The rig you referred to was pivots, right?
That's correct. Okay. Spray rigs. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that change order number 4 for Sussex County Project 09-19, Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility Phase 1 Expansion, be approved in the credit amount of $177,810, which decreases the contract total to $12,850,713, and that is contingent upon the receipt of approval from the funding agencies.
Need a motion and a second?
Good deal.
Do you expect that approval from the
agencies? Yes, sir.
And you did eliminate the manholes, correct?
Most of them, not all of them.
So moved.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any questions on a motion? Take the vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. I'd like to thank Mr. Izzo and his staff for following through with this. And.